Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we are going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Mem Vav, the 46th Perek of Yirmiyahu. This next section, as the Malbim and all the Mepharshim describe, from chapters 46 to 51, Mem Vav to Nananav, are essentially the prophecies of destruction geared towards the rest of the world. So Yirmiyahu turns around and basically turns from nation to nation to nation, describing their imminent destruction at the hands of Bavel. The Abarbanel adds that it's not just all the nations, it's the ones that were involved in the destruction of Israel. So for instance, the first one, which is the topic of today, and this parak, is the destruction against Egypt. And Egypt obviously played a pivotal role in destruction because they were the ones who made an alliance with the nation of Judea, of Israel, to protect them, and then they traded, said they would come out to help them, which allowed Israel to strengthen their resolve against Bavel and not listen to Yirmiyahu. So they were very much a permanent role. Of course, they played an earlier role in which they went through Israel and ultimately killed Yoshiyahu HaMelech when Yoshiyahu HaMelech did not allow them passage earlier on. So Mitzrayim were heavily involved in our history, and that's why Yirmiyahu turns to him. There's really three parts to our perek. The first part of this perek deals with those who the early Egyptians of the times of Pharaoh Necho, who is the crippled Pharaoh who fought against Yoshiyahu. Then the second perek of the part of the perek from Yud Gimel onwards, it deals with the later Egypt, where Egypt is actually attacked by Babel in their own territory, as we sort of saw was happening at the end of Yirmiyahu's life. And then finally, there's a consolation to the lid to the nation of Israel for the last very few psukim from Chof Zion till the end of the perek. So let's look at this in sections. So the first part of the prophecy, very, very succinctly, describes how Yirmiyahu watches. First of all, he describes this in the fourth year of Yehoiakim. During the fourth year of Yehoiakim, this is the king. This is the Yehoiakim is the son of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu HaMelech was killed because he did not allow Egypt to go across the land of Israel to fight up in the north in an alliance with Assyria against Bavel, and Yoshiyahu was killed. Egypt took control of the land of Judea and put their puppet king Yehoiakim in place. Yehoiakim was one of the sons of Yoshiyahu, but he was a yes man to Egypt. And so this is in the fourth year of his reign, when we know historically speaking that there was a terrible battle that was fought at Karkarmish up north on the Syrian border, the northern Syrian border, where there was an outpost of the Egyptians in the Syrian kingdom which was conquered in this fourth year. So this is a very important year historically speaking, and Yirmiyahu is describing this battle before it happens. So Yirmiyahu is describing how he sees the troops going out and the people, you know, the chariots and the horses and the military gear and the helmets, and everybody's getting ready and shining their spears. And then he asks, why are they being cut down? Why are they fleeing backwards? And he answers, Hifnu magor misaviv. There is fear everywhere around them. This battle that they're walking into, they're going to walk into fear they've never experienced before. And he describes how these men are fleeing and going northwards to the Euphrates, where they're captured and killed. Because it's interesting, Egypt is in the south. When Karkarmish fell, they were so in such fear and they were so surrounded that they fled northwards into the lion's den to the Euphrates River, where they were trapped and ultimately killed by the Babylonians. This is the battle he's describing at Karkarmish. And he talks about their imminent destruction. Hashem then adds in an extra subtext to that story. He says in Pasuk Yud, Vayomahu Lahashem Elohim Tzvakos Yom Noko Linokem Yisarov. Although it's Bavel fighting Egypt, but at the same time, it really is the day of the vengeance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is this vengeance that's going on? So Radak points out, it is the revenge Hashem is taking for Pharaoh Necho to having killed Yoshiyahu HaMelech. This is, in fact, the Malbim goes so far as to say, why is it called Yom Nakol HaShem? It's a day of vengeance for Hashem. Because Hashem put into the heads of the Egyptians that they should fight the rising power of Bavel. They should not have. But they did. And that was to facilitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vengeance upon the nation of Egypt. And finally, at the end of the section, he describes how ki gibor begibor koshalu yachdov naflu shnehem, that strong man against strong man fall together. What's really going on in this image? So as all the Mephoshim point out, it's like, you know, there's such disarray in the troops, everybody's fleeing, that people are tripping over each other and hurting each other and killing each other because they don't know where to go or who's the enemy or what's happening. That's how confusing it is. I wonder if as well that as a greater meta commentary, what Tanakh might be saying over here is here you see Babylon and Egypt fighting each other, and both strong nations are going to ultimately fall because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge and they're sort of puppets in his hands. The next section is the second section from Yud Gimel onwards, where he describes that where Bavel actually comes to Egypt. We see this is imminent. When the Jews flee to Egypt, they think they're safe there, and Yirmiyahu tells them, no, Bavel's coming. So this is what he talks about. And the places he describes are places that are in Egypt central, right? Nof, Tachpan, Ches, all these places in central Egypt by the tributaries of the river. In this section, he describes Hirba Koshel, there are going to be so many people who are tripping over each other. Gam Nofal Ish El Re'eu, people are going to be falling over each other, much like we saw before. But in this case, Vayomru Kumu V'Nashuvu El Amenu V'El Eretz Moladatenu, and everybody's going to get up and say, let's return to our places. What's that referring to? So the Mepharshim point out that this is when all the allies of Egypt come in and try to help them, the Mitzvot David points out, but because they're being whipped so badly, everybody runs home, meaning all the allies of Egypt in the local neighborhood run away. And in fact, Yirmiyahu describes how Karusham Paro Melech Mitzrayim Sha'on He'evir Mo'ed. Paro calls out this Sha'on, this fear, and the time has passed. What time has passed is Yirmiyahu referring to? So Rashi explains that Pharaoh, the Babylonians are making an announcement. Pharaoh, who used to call fear into his very troops because he was such a powerful leader, is too scared to arrive at his time on the battlefield. We told him we're going to meet him at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. In the battlefield, he's not interested. He's too scared. And they're showing, they are shaming him to show how scared Pharaoh is as he arrives there. And there's numerous metaphors which are used to describe Egypt. One of them in the section is described Egla Yefefiya Mitzrayim. Egypt is this beautiful, beautiful calf, this cow, and it's going to be chopped down. It's going to be slaughtered by the Babylonians when its time comes. Why is this the description? So most of the Mepharshim say, well, you know, it was the Egypt was a very powerful and beautiful nation. That's sort of the metaphor of this calf. But the Malbim says it could also be much like we saw in Yetzias Mitzrayim many centuries beforehand, that they actually served their livestock. So they served the cows, and it was when the cows were being killed, their gods, so to speak, were being killed by the Babylonians in the first battles. They should have taken that as a sign to realize that they ultimately would be killed themselves, but they didn't, and they missed this. In and amongst the descriptions of destruction that's happening in Egypt, Yirmiyahu describes in Inipokeres es el Amon Minoi. He is going to call to judgment Amon from No. Who is Amon and who is No and what is No? So maybe some of the Mepharshim say, the Radak says, Amon could be the name of a governor or a mayor of a particular city called No. But if you look at the translation, the Tirgum Yonasan, you actually see that it means Na is the place called Alexandria. It's referring to the Hamon, the multitudes in Alexandria, one of the largest cities in Egypt, which are trembling as the Babylonians come in because of the reality of this. The interesting thing is that Yirmiyahu closes off this section in the destruction of Egypt by saying, but after all of this destruction, you will reside like you did in times of yore, in times beforehand. What does that mean? So if you actually look at Yechezkel Choftes, Perek Choftes, Yechezkel talks about how after Babel fell, which is 40 years after the destruction of Egypt, then Egypt will have relative peace. They won't be the great empire they once were, but they will have relative peace, which is interesting, which leads us into the last and final section, the next and final section of his Perek, which runs from Chof Zayin to the end of the Perek, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says very, very, very beautifully, Va'ata al tira abdi Yaakov, don't fear my servant Yaakov. And he said, this is repeated two times. Why? And he explains, because although I'm going to put you in Golos, and I hurt you, it was in judgment, but I'm never going to fully destroy you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to bring you back from afar. Why does Israel need to hear this? In fact, these words are actually very similar to Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed, where Yirmiyahu says this in a more elongated fashion there. So the Mitzvot David points out that's because now that you saw that Egypt will have some sort of restoration to some sort of, you know, peace, well, so too will Israel. Know that you yourselves will also return like they returned. The Radak says, no. When you look at Egypt's destruction and you see how terrible it will be for them, remember, you're not like that. If you choose to listen to me, you won't be fully destroyed. And now Babinel adds on, of course, a post note over here, where he says, no, you should know, it's not just about this Golas. Meaning, the ultimately Egypt had a 40-year-long exile. Okay, that's a long time, but it's nothing like 2,000 years across all the countries in the world like we're experiencing now. What Akash Baruch was saying is sometimes when you look back at the other nations and you see that they had tough times, but they got out of those tough times, you think, yeah, well, that was because they were all local and it was a short time. But us, it's not been local. We've been across the planet and it's been extremely long. Maybe we really have been rejected, says Ababinel. No, Akash Baruch says, even from the distance, Hineni Moshiacho Merachok, remember, says Hashem, I will bring you from afar. Last thing just to focus on and ponder is that in this description of Atari Abdi Yaakov, some of the texts have that the word Yaakov is spelled as an extra vav. Yud Aleph Kuf Vav Beis. And Malbim explains that in the future, when Hashem will save the Jews, he will take not only the Yud out of Esav. Esav is supposed to be Yasu, he will make, but the Yud went to Yaakov, the Akev. The Vav of Esav will also go there, sort of demasculating Esav as Ash, sort of this nothingness, whereas Yaakov will ultimately have a fuller name at the time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us. May we see those days speedily. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.